Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anthony Ruggiero of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. In the critical months, December, January, February of late 2020, Anthony was in the extremely rough position of being the senior director of counterproliferation and biodefense for the United States of America at the NSC. Therefore, the information coming was overwhelming. And looking at it now from the point of view of what was known then, we come to some conclusions that were not available because bad information was coming out of China. I tell the story of standing at Kennedy Airport on Saturday after the 31st, when the Trump administration advised early on some warning about people coming from China because of this unknown virus that was associated with pneumonia, had been through January, and seeing a China Eastern Airlines very large aircraft pulling up to a gate next to mine. I was outbound for Azerbaijan. And either I wondered at the time or I wondered afterwards. I can't be absolutely sure about the timing and my own musing. What about the people on that plane? They're coming from China. This is the Chinese celebration time. That aircraft was a measure of the risk we were all taking. And Anthony, your memory, the Chinese government was not expressing alarms, was it? There's no document that says, warning, warning, be careful, something's happening. They treated this as if under control. Is that your memory?
Well, that was what they were saying initially. I think, you know, when China started to lock down, you know, millions of people in and around Wuhan and the province around that, I think for many people that was an aha moment. But for many of us, we were working under the assumption that that this might spread. And again, this is, you know, when you think about policy decisions, there's one approach, which is, you know, sometimes these outbreaks don't become pandemics. They just are epidemics within the country of origin or maybe countries around that country of origin. And you try and contain those. And in others, they become a pandemic or they spread more widely outside that particular region. And this one, I think there were many of us who believed that the likelihood that it would spread was there and that we should prepare for that. Now, in terms of travel, certainly in mid-January, we had started to put certain things in place, like, some screening of for sick individuals who might be ill or might need additional attention that were coming from the center of the outbreak. So and it was very complicated because it didn't include U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents. And we wanted to also make sure that it was people who were actually had visited within the last 14 days. But, you know, testing also was not widely available. This was well before the errors in our own testing domestically. So this wasn't a circumstance where we could just bring everyone off those kinds of planes and give everyone a test. So at some level, we were trying to do the best we can where you have this flow of people coming in and you're just at some level trying to reduce that flow and trying to reduce the possibility of seeding within the country. But of course, and now again, using 2020 hindsight, I think there's now evidence that some of that had already been seeded beforehand.
January 18th, the date is the celebration, the vast banquet held at Wuhan for the Chinese New Year. That has often been brought to my attention as a vector for the spread of this internationally. There's so much we don't know. It's overwhelming. It's striking what the leadership in Beijing might have had access to that we don't know we still don't know what they knew at the time.
Yeah, I think there is some information coming out or has been in some of the books that have been written and some of the other research that people have done about just what did China know in mid-January. And I agree with your point about the Chinese New Year. You know, if the Chinese acted on the information they had, which was they were concerned about the possibility of this spreading, even though they were saying in public and to the WHO and to anyone who would ask that it was fine,
right,
that it was a low probability of transmission amongst humans. But then they allowed, people within their country to travel within China for the new year, which made it much more difficult. So in other words, instead of being able to focus on people who had been to this particular area, in the area being Wuhan and the surroundings in the last 14 days, now everyone's traveling within China and then back. And then it becomes much more difficult to get any handle on it. I think part of what we would want to find out is why they made those decisions.
Right.
And it really does get back to, how we prepare for the next one of, should we believe every country when it tells us there's nothing to see here? We have it under control. How should we evaluate that? And I think it's going to be on a case by case basis.
Anthony Ruggiero, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Matt.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.